Let's open our Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 24 and starting at verse 1 through to verse 12. That's Luke chapter 24 starting at verse 1 through to verse 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified on the third day, be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they were told all these things. They told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them, who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Verse 11. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed like nonsense. Verse 12. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Peter got up and ran to the tomb. This is the guy who denied Jesus three times. When the pressure was on, he sort of melted away and didn't want to have anything to do with the Lord and denied him. He got up and ran to the tomb. Peter ran to the tomb. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you, Father, that it's a special day, Lord, not only in the Christian calendar, Lord, but in each and every one of our lives. And I pray, Father, today that there might be a fresh touch of your resurrection life in each one of our lives. I pray, Lord, that you might bring today a full revelation by your Spirit of what you desire for each and every one of us, Lord. Lord, we've all come from different backgrounds, Lord. We've sort of set this side apart. Maybe we found out about this conference from a brochure somewhere or somebody told us. But God, by your Spirit, you drew us here. And Lord, I pray today, I pray that the full of your purpose in our lives might come to full blossom, Lord. That Lord, in some new and fresh way, that we might have a revelation of your goodness and of your grace. And about what it really means to walk with a risen Lord and risen Saviour, I pray. In Jesus' name and for His glory. And everybody said, Amen. Come with me to Matthew chapter 21. Just as a reflection here, we're going to talk about the Easter week this morning. And Matthew chapter 21 takes us back to the entry of Jerusalem as Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, which traditionally is known as Palm Sunday. For those that have been in the Christian church a while, and I imagine there's a few here, we all know about Palm Sunday, as recorded in Matthew chapter 21. I want to do a reflection of the week of Easter. Right from Palm Sunday, I want to look at the three main events, Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and Resurrection Sunday, which is today. And go right to it and reflect on each one of these events. But most of all, I want to reflect on one of the particular characters in the Scripture who was present at each one of these events, and just the mood that he felt and what he was going through and how that reflects upon our life today. And that person is the Apostle Peter, as we look at him. Let's read together, shall we, from Matthew 21, and starting at verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find the donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me." We know the story that Jesus went and asked for the donkey to be brought to him and for them to be brought back to him so that he could come down into Jerusalem. Move on with me to verse 6. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet, from Nazareth in Galilee." I just want you to understand the mood of the hour here and what was going on. As Jesus was coming in on this donkey, here were people cutting branches from the palm trees and laying them on the road. They were taking their coats off and laying them down as Jesus was coming into the city. And it was customary in those days to do that for royalty. It was like royal treatment and for a king. And so here's this very large crowd treating Jesus as if he were a king coming in there. The disciples were there also. In verse 8 it says there was a very large crowd. And the week of this was happening on this Sunday was the beginning of the Passover festival in Israel and in Jerusalem. And all the Jews used to gather together once a year to this Passover festival. And it was an exciting week. And I want you to understand the mood of the hour. It was a time of almost festivity. You know, in Victoria, we have a week known as in football as Grand Final Week. Do you have that up here in the rugby, the Grand Final Week? And it's almost like a week of festivity. You know, there's like a mood in the air. Does anybody here follow the football? Okay, we have four people. All right. Well, you might go to another type of a festive thing. You might go to a Christian conference or something somewhere in Sydney where a lot of Christians gather together. But the mood of the hour is one of festivity. It's one of joy. It's one of expectation. And it was estimated that there was over 1 million Jews gathering together to celebrate this Passover festival. And so there was this atmosphere of festivity, of expectation in the air. And here comes Jesus in on the back of a donkey, and people are throwing their coats down and the palm branches and treating him like he's a king. And they're singing out, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna, glory to the Son of David." And Peter was in amongst these people. It was Peter there who was with Jesus for 3 years before he came to Jerusalem. It was Peter who was with him as he was healing the sick and raising the dead. He saw the raising of Lazarus. And it was Peter who was with Jesus for those years. Wonder if you could come back with me and let's just reflect on a few events that happened in Peter's life leading up to this particular time. We go back to Matthew chapter 16. If you've got your Bible there, follow me. Matthew chapter 16. I like Peter. I love to look at the Apostle Peter in the Scripture. I love this guy because he was just such an ordinary guy, just like David, as I shared yesterday. Peter was just a fisherman. The Apostle Peter he became, but when Jesus found him, when Jesus called him, he was a fisherman. It's estimated he was probably around 26 years of age at this point in time. But for how many years? Maybe 20 years he'd been out in that boat fishing on the seas of Galilee. And Jesus called him. It was like there was a special calling in his life. For 3 years he followed him. He gave everything up just to follow this king. He didn't probably understand the full meaning of what this following or this calling would mean. But here he was following Jesus. He saw that feeding of the 5,000. There were times that must have nearly blown him away when he walked the streets with Jesus. And he'd been out preaching, and a lot of the disciples had too. And in verse 13 of chapter 16, this was a special event in Peter's life. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And Jesus turned to them and said, "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." I don't think at that point or at that moment Peter just pulled something off the top of his head. You know how we can come out with statements sometimes just off the top of our head? "Who do you say I am?" I don't think the scene was like that. I imagine maybe though, although the scripture doesn't tell us, but I imagine they were probably around a campfire together and all the disciples were there and And they were sort of a bit jovial about the whole scene. And Jesus said, "Who do the people say that I am?" And I imagine some of the disciples said, "Well, wait, some say that you're John the Baptist. Hey, that's not bad, is it? Some say that you're Elijah or one of the prophets back from the dead." And I imagine there was probably a little bit of a jovialness about the whole meeting. But Jesus sort of calmed the air and settled the scene and turned to them and looked at them and said, "But who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" And I imagine there was probably dead silence as each one of those disciples began to search their own heart. And I could imagine Peter standing there, reflecting on what he's seen and where he's been, searching the depth of his heart as he looks into the eyes of Jesus, as he looks at this man standing there, as he searches the very belief in his heart. And as he responds, he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Wow. Wow, Peter. Fabulous. And look how Jesus responds to him. Jesus says, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you, Peter, that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you, Peter, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, I know the scripture doesn't tell us this, but I don't think that Jesus just stood there and said, "Blessed are you, Peter. Blessed are you, Simon." I don't think he was like that. I think if you got a blessing from Jesus, it would be a real blessing. Are you with me? I don't know whether he went up to him and he hugged him. I don't know whether he had him kneel down and he laid hands on him. I don't know how Jesus responded to him. But I want to tell you, when you get a blessing from Jesus, it's a real blessing. A real blessing. Imagine Peter. 26 years I've been a fisherman. I hear the call of this man and I follow him. And today he gives me a blessing above all blessings. What does this mean? I will build my church upon you, me, a fisherman. Not only that, Peter, but I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? What a blessing. What does this all mean? Can you imagine Peter going home that night? Can you imagine him sitting outside and wondering, looking at the stars in Israel, they're just wondering what this means. What does this mean? I will build my church upon you, the rock. Lord, do you imagine the dreams and aspirations that would start to build within him for the future? Wow! This has been an exciting 3 years walking with Jesus. But now this blessing that he's given me. Oh, the dreams that I have. What could this possibly mean, Lord? What could this mean? And then down in chapter 17 of Matthew, verse 1, after 6 days, after this huge blessing Peter receives, after 6 days, Jesus took him, Peter, James and John, the brother of James, and led them onto a high mountain by themselves, in verse 2. There Jesus was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it's good for us to be here." He was excited. I don't think Peter said, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." I think he was excited. If we could check this out. Whew. If I saw Jesus transformed before me in all his glory, I think I'd get excited. James and John were there. He got excited. "Lord, it is good for us to be here." Wow. What a blessing. It's like a double blessing. And as we move on down through to chapter 21 again, here's Peter. He's been walking with Jesus. He's been blessed by Jesus. He's been in the very presence of this transformed Christ in all his glory and radiance. And here he is coming in, right at the front of the march, entering Jerusalem. It's Passover time. It's festive season. Everybody's excited about what's happening in Jerusalem. And here comes a king on a donkey. And Peter's there amongst them. He can hear the crowd. The Bible says in verse 10 of chapter 21, it says that the whole city was stirred. The whole city. Everybody was excited, saying, who is this guy? Who is this king coming into town? They were crying out, Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Now that meant a lot for the Jewish people. Because Hosanna means glory too, but to the Son of David. When they said the Son of David, the Jews were always looking forward to, and still are, looking forward to the Messiah. The coming reigning king. And at this point in time, all the Jews were under a cruel bondage of the Romans. They couldn't get away from the Romans. To them, the Son of David meant the coming Messiah, the King of Kings, the King of the Jews, who will set us free from the bondage of the Romans. He will bring freedom to us. He will bring salvation to us. That's how the Jews understood salvation in those times. And the whole city was stirred. Is this it, God? Maybe it was in Peter's heart. Is this it? Lord, do I get the picture now? You're coming to Jerusalem at the Passover. You're going to become king and set us free from the reign of the Romans. Is that it? Is that what it means? And he was excited. I imagine he would have been dancing in front there as Jesus was coming in to Jerusalem, singing with the rest of the crowd, Hosanna, Hosanna, glory to the Son of David. Glory to the Son of David. Hosanna to the King. And several days later, as we move over in chapter 27, the mood changes. Chapter 27 of Matthew. Early in the morning, chapter 27, verse 1. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. And they bound him, and they led him away, and they handed him over to Pilate, the governor. Come with me to verse 15. Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. Here's the crowd again. Take note of that. Here's the crowd again. Only several days before, they're all crying, Hosanna, glory to the Son of David. But here they are again in verse 15. Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, and Peter was there, Pilate asked them, which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. Come to verse 20 with me. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. Which one of the two do you want me to release to you? Asked the governor. Barabbas, they answered. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? Pilate asked. They all answered, crucify him. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. In verse 26, then they released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed over to be crucified. And Peter was there. Peter was there. Can you imagine how Peter felt, the disciples, as they gathered in the midst of this crowd several days later? Can you imagine how he felt as he saw this sight? As Pilate marches Barabbas out before the crowd, and then they bring Jesus out. He's my hope for the future. Everything that I was ever going to be, I imagine Peter felt, everything that I was ever going to be was in him. He's my hope for the future. And they march him out in this gown with a crown of thorns. And he doesn't open his mouth before the crowd. And the crowd jeers on and jeers him and says, crucify him, crucify him. You imagine what Peter felt. as he retreated from the crowd, as he went away from the crowd, he started to move away and the fears that would have built up within him. What about the disillusionment, the blessing? Jesus, you gave me that blessing. What about the blessing? What about my hopes and aspirations for the future? As he moves away and he moves away to the crowd, a young servant girl comes up to him and says, "Hey, you were with that Jesus." He says, "Hey, hang on, I don't even know what you're talking about." He moves away and another young girl comes up and says, "Come on, I saw you with his disciples. You were with that Jesus." And he says, I tell you, I don't know what you're talking about. And the third time someone came up to him and said, "We can tell by your accent. You're a Galilean. You were with Jesus." And he swore it, says, like by an oath, and said, "I tell you, I don't know this man." And as he did, the rooster crowed as Jesus had prophesied. He turned and he caught the eye of Jesus as though they were carting him away. He walked out and as he sat upon the steps outside, he wept bitterly. It says in the scripture. He wept bitterly. The separation of the relationship between him and his Lord. That Good Friday experience of being separated from his God. His dreams and aspirations. Everything was dying. As he stood in the crowd, as Peter saw this pathetic sight of his hope for the future, dragging this rugged old cross through the streets and falling. And then as he got to Calvary and these cruel soldiers took him and nailed him to the cross and hung him between two common prisons. As Peter stood in the crowd and he could hear the religious people jeering at him and mocking him. "You who say you could tear down the temple and rebuild it in 3 days? Well, you believe in God, why don't you ask God to save you now?" Can you imagine how Peter felt? That Good Friday. Can you imagine as he reflects back in the past and the times that he had. The joy that he saw when the 5,000 were fed from a few little boy's lunch. The joy that would have been amongst the people when he saw Lazarus raised from the dead. The joy with those people. The times he spent with him. The closeness, the guilt of denying him. The disillusionment, the discouragement. The loss. And you know, friends, if the Christian faith was about just Good Friday, there would be no hope for the future. For any of us, there would be no hope for the future. And all those hours that would have passed by, those hours that would have gone by between Good Friday and Sunday morning, hours would seem like eternity. Like eternity. Isn't it like that when we get into a place that's like a Good Friday experience? It's like, will this never change? And the old devil comes and whispers in your ear and says, "It will always be like this. It will always be like this." But I've got a guy who I love this guy's tape. His name's Tony Campolo. And he says, "It might be Friday, but Sundays are coming. There is always resurrection for the believer. Always resurrection." It would have seemed like hours to him. Come over with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, where we began. What's going through his mind? On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared. And here they go up to the tomb. They found the stone had been rolled away. They met the guys there who said, "Look, why do you look for the living amongst the dead? He is risen." The women rushed back to the disciples in verse 9. And when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11. And Peter was there. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles in verse 11. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. But look at Peter. Look at Peter in verse 12. But Peter. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. He ran to the tomb. The first light of hope for my future. He knew that his hope for the future was in Christ and Christ alone. Here's my first ray of hope. And he got up and he ran to the tomb. And when Peter arrived, bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying there beside themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Could it be true? Could Jesus really have risen from the dead? To think that Jesus would be now alive is almost too good to be true. Could it be true that he is really risen and alive? Come with me to John chapter 21. John 21. I close with this one. John 21, verse 4. You know, when you become disillusioned, when you become discouraged, you go back to the things that feel safe to you. And Peter went back fishing. And that's what's happening here. In verse 4 of chapter 21 of John, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. And he called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. And I think it was more like, "No." You know, have you ever been out fishing all night and never caught any fish? Oh man, that's discouraging. And they answered, "No." They were about 100 yards off the shore here. "No." He said, "Then throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. And then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It's the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he'd taken it off, and he jumped into the water. I'm not waiting another moment. It's the Lord. He is alive and risen. It's him. It's Jesus. I saw him die. I was there and I witnessed when he dragged that cross through the streets. I saw them nail him to that cross. I watched him die, and now he's risen. He's alive and well, and he jumps into the water. Imagine he's swimming towards Jesus. And what happened was the net was so full of fish they followed him in with his boat. And I imagine, I don't know, it doesn't say in the Bible how he greeted or specifically what happened, but I imagine it would have been a great time as Jesus and Peter got back together. And then in verse 15, this is what happened. When they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, listen to what he said to him. Out of all the disciples, he turns to Peter, just like Jesus turns to each one of us. No different. The calling of Peter is the same calling of each and every one of us. I know Peter was an apostle who walked with him, who talked with him. But the calling's the same for each and every one of us. When Jesus calls us and says, "Follow me," it's no different. It's no different. Jesus turned to Peter and he said, "Simon, son of John," in verse 15, "Do you truly love me? Do you truly love me more than these?" And some people have got some ideas about what "more than these" means. We won't get stuck on the theology, but I feel it means more than anything. More than anything else. Jesus turns and says to Simon Peter, "Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me more than anything? More than your ministry? Do you love me more than your career? Do you love me more than the things that you've built in your own life that are significant to you? Do you love me than all of these?" I believe that's what Jesus would ask us today on this Resurrection Sunday. Do you love me? Do you love me more than all of these? The heart of God rejoices to see people dedicated to ministry. But more than anything, the heart of God rejoices for people who are dedicated to Him, in relationship to Him. And He says, "Do you love me? Do you love me more than all of this, more than anything, do you love me, Peter? And Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, well, feed my lambs. And again Jesus said to him, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? Do you truly love me? There's an emphasis on relationship here, isn't there? It's like Jesus is emphasizing that heart relationship with Peter. He's emphasizing it. There was a time where Peter said to Jesus, he said, look, if you go to prison or wherever, to death, I will be there with you. That was his dedication to the Lord. And he said, before the rooster crows three times, before the rooster crows, you will have denied me three times. It was an emotional decision in the moment of the hour. But Jesus is talking now about a love from the heart. Something about the will and the soul and the heart of this man saying, do you truly love me? In spite of the mood of the hour, Peter, will you never forsake me? Will you never leave me? Will you hold fast to me? He says, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, well, take care of my sheep. Then the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. And Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, follow me. Follow me. Can we have the steward hand out the communion today, please? Yeah, those stewards. And ask if our flautist could come up the front, please. So to play the flute. Just thinking about communion today, and I'd ask you to take the bread and the wine together. I ask you to retain the bread and the wine, and we're going to eat together and drink together. I felt that this communion time is a time where, again, as God calls us and He asks us the question, perhaps this Easter Sunday, this Resurrection Sunday, just like He asked Peter, it's a question of, do you love me more than these?